Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome into the latest edition of ESPN SC. I'm Dan Thomas, joined in the studio today by Craig Burley. Later on in the programme, Mark Ogden will be here. He's taken a lot of criticism from social media over the last 24 hours about his article defending Harry Maguire. We'll be discussing that. But for now, we welcome in Gab Marcotti, Don Hutchinson, and the one and only Shaka Hislop. He's been very busy. It is International Week. Forget the bookies. This is Shaka's top 10 teams with a chance to win the World Cup. Let's start at number 10, Shaq.
I start with Senegal, and I have them way down there primarily because of Koulibaly, who hasn't been as good, and Edouard Mendy, as good as when they were when they won the AFCON and qualified for the World Cup. Number nine, the Dutch. I always say the Dutch have as much chance of winning this as they are crashing out in the group stage so often, their own worst enemy. Denmark, who surprised so many in the Euros, I think they continue that going. They have a surprise in them. I don't see them winning it. Belgium, I just wonder if they're past their best. And though they had a good outing last time around, I'm not sure how equipped they are. Spain, big questions around goal scoring for them. But other than that, as strong as ever. Similarly for Germany, questions around goal scoring. I don't think 2018 repeats itself. England got to the Euro final, but I just wonder if they will limp again as they had done 4 years ago and last year. France, despite their injury issues, I think many of them were clear up. They're the best equipped of the European teams. Brazil, I have at number two, though all the bookies may disagree with me, and which may come as a surprise to you in particular, Dan. I have Argentina to win it, the defending South American champions. I think, come good, at long last.
The reason Shaka obviously makes a big deal of Argentina being number one is a discussion we've had over the years here on the show, that Lionel Messi can never be considered the greatest of all time unless he wins the World Cup. So therefore, that, though, Shaka, I believe, is a discussion for another day.
Yes.
Why Argentina, then, over Brazil? That's the kind of the big thing to take away from that.
Well, I think Argentina proved a lot to themselves, primarily in winning the Copa America on Brazilian soil. They faltered so many times before. We spoke about the missed penalties or going out to penalties in the final against Chile and in the Centenario. Chile, who they beat in the group stage, by the way, just couldn't get over the line. Every time they seemed to get to a final, they just couldn't get it done. They buried that last time out at Copa America, as I mentioned. And I feel this is a team that are determined to win it primarily to cement Leo Messi's legacy in the game.
Where do you stand, Don? Argentina or Brazil? Is it that simple?
I don't think it's that simple, Dan. But, I mean, every time I look at what Brazil have got to work with in their squad, I mean, it is truly ridiculous. I mean, just to mention some players, Vinicius Jr., Jesus, Rafinha, Bruno Guimarães, Paquetar at West Ham. I mean, every time you look and you keep analysing what they've got, I mean, if they click, I mean, they surely have to be favourites. I would say Belgium would be a little bit higher.
Oh.
But I think it's Brazil for me, Dan.
Gab?
My top three have been unchanged. It's Brazil, Spain, and France. France, in spite of all the chaos that's engulfing
them. What have you got against Shaka's Argentina, Gab?
I don't have anything specific against Shaka's Argentina. And obviously, they were on that really long unbeaten run and all this stuff being great. I just think... It's. I just think these other teams have more weapons, and I think they're also a little bit steelier, a little more adaptive in the way they play.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a team that. I mean, it's a great run they're on. 33 games undefeated, few draws in there, but it's not a defence that's going to fill me full of confidence at the as experienced as it is at the knockout stage. It was interesting. There was a great story about France as well, wasn't it? About the team photo.
I didn't see this story, no.
But I don't want to go into it in too depth, but allegedly Mbappe refuses to get in the team photo. For the time being, there's some sort of thing over image rights.
Oh, fantastic.
And whatnot, and Didier Deschamps somewhere banging his head on the wall going, it's going to be the same again. So,
right.
You know, you just don't know what you're going to get from the French camp. You know how talented the French are, but what you're going to get from the camp, is there going to be any problems? Or just always seems to be problems following them around. And I think, yeah, even though Argentina have been great, I still think the French and the Brazilians
right.
are probably going to be the two teams to beat.
Interesting you bring up France. We'll be discussing them on the next edition of the show because Jules is here because they're in Nations League action. Be sure to join us. We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's electricebikes.com.
Mark Ogden's been writing about the trials and tribulations of Harry Maguire over recent months. Part of the article says Harry needs pace around him, but he hasn't had that, a source close to Maguire told ESPN. If you put Man City's Ruben Dias in the United defence and Harry in the City back four, Dias would struggle and Harry would thrive. Harry hasn't had a good 12 months, but he hasn't been helped by those around him. Let's welcome in, shall we, Mark Ogden first. And Mark, can you just confirm the source close to Harry Maguire isn't Harry Maguire?
It's not Harry Maguire, no, despite what social media seem to think today. Harry Maguire hasn't phoned me up, so yeah, let's put that one straight right away.
Has he got a point, Mark, your source?
Well, I think so. I mean, look, I mean, he does stress in there that Harry has had a great time, hasn't had a great time in the last 12 months, and he's had a terrible start to the season. I'm not for 1 minute suggesting that Harry Maguire should be back in the United team or in the England team, but I do think that the players around Harry Maguire, certainly last season, didn't help him at all. You know, I think the goalkeeper behind him was an issue. I think the defensive partners he had were all different and non-particularly reliable, and the fullbacks were particularly great. And you could even go further forward and say that he was getting no protection on the defence, was getting no protection from the midfielders. So it wasn't easy to be a defender at Man United last season. And I suppose being the captain, being the world's most expensive defender, you're a lightning rod for criticism. So, you know, put Ruben Dias in that team, put Harry Maguire in the City team, I think you'd see a difference. I'm not suggesting that Harry Maguire be a world beater at Man City, but I do think that the players around him contributed to his poor form last season, the start of this.
Don, what are you shaking your head at?
I'm just trying to imagine that Ruben Dias has been playing with speed merchants while he's been at Man City. I mean, he's been playing with Laporte, not quick, John Stones, not quick, sometimes Fernandinho, not quick at all. I mean, Ruben Dias is a far better defender than Harry Maguire. I mean, you know, yes, he needs pace around him. That's evident. That's, you know, if Harry Maguire is a footballing centre-back, then obviously he needs people on the cover. But to suggest that if you put Ruben Dias in Man United's defence, they'd be better, I don't see that one.
I think the point is, guys, I think that, you know, he's had Kyle Walker and Cancelo as well. They've got a lot of pace at City. And I think, you know, I'm not saying Ruben Dias will make United better, but I think it'll probably make him worse if he played for Man United. Certainly last season, this season's defence looks slightly better.
I don't think there's I don't think it's rocket science to suggest, and you know I've talked about this before, Harry Maguire would be a completely different player if he'd gone to Man City, as was touted at the time, when both clubs were vying for his services. He had a coach who was tactically way, way more astute than anything that he'd kind of worked with. He had better players around him, and so he'd probably have made less mistakes. That being said, you know, clearly it's easier to play better in the City team than it is the Man United. You've only got to look at the surrounding, the supporting cast. But it still doesn't take away from some of the silly, bad defensive decisions that he's made. So, yeah, I mean, he's been smarter from the criticism. He's still getting criticism whenever he makes an appearance. But as Don said, I think Ruben Dias is just much more of a solid defender. I mean, Harry Maguire is a good ball-playing centre-back, but who's lost his confidence? And that's the bottom line, and hence lost his position in the Man United team.
What happens? What is the future of Harry Maguire, Mark?
I mean, it does look pretty grim, doesn't it? Let's look at United. I think Ten Hag is certainly settled on Lisandro Martinez as one half of his defence, and Varane is playing well. I do think that Varane at some point might let him down in terms of fitness. I think last season we saw that he's not able to play, he's not robust enough to play every game of the season. So the issue comes then, if Varane has to be taken out of the team for a period of time, what happens then? Because I don't think Lindelof is great, and then beyond that, you've not really got many options. So Maguire might get back in, but I just think he's 29 now. His confidence is gone, and I think I don't think people trust him. I don't think the fans trust him anymore. I think that gets into his kind of psyche a little bit. I think he feels that now. So it's going to be tough for him, and it's going to be tough for him to rebuild his career, because, like I say, he's 29. He's not a first choice at United. His wages will mean he won't be able to move from United anytime soon. And his England place is now under threat because, you know, he's not playing at Man United. So it really is a bad time for Harry Maguire. I don't see a route back unless Varane gets injured.
Just thinking about it, who was his centre-half partner at Leicester? Wasn't Wes Morgan in the end? Can't remember anyway.
Johnny Evans,
right. Possibly Johnny Evans. Now, is anyone here suggesting, with all the experience in the world, that Johnny Evans is the quickest player around? I don't think so. So, at the end of the day, they forged the partnership. They forged a decent back four not long after the successful winning title team. So, yeah, I mean, Johnny Evans wasn't exactly Usain Bolt, was he?
Don, it must just be a miserable existence, isn't it? You know, you were captain of Manchester United. That's taken away from you. As like Mark said, he's very much the lightning rod for all the criticism for United over the last couple of years. You've got to live in the city. I'd hate it.
Yeah, it's a horrible place to be, Dan, when your form's gone. And as Mark said, when the fans don't trust you, it is a horrible place to be when your confidence is low. I mean, it must have been difficult for him because, you know, playing well for England's one thing, playing well for Man United's another in a short period. But I think when he was good at Leicester, it's because he suited what Leicester had at the time. They were a counter-attacking side. Everyone knows that Harry Maguire's got no pace whatsoever. So Leicester at times, when they won the league, were camped out on their own 18-yard box. You had midfield players that used to either serve the wide men or get it forward double quick for Jamie Vardy. And they were a proper counter-attacking side. Now, when you play for Man United, you play for Man City, Liverpool, etc., etc., you're expected then to be in your position a good 20 yards further up the pitch, closer to the halfway line. That's not where Maguire wants to be. That's where he'll struggle, because if you've got no pace, you can't recover. 1v1s, he's not particularly good at defensive skills. That's why I sort of laughed at the fact that you're comparing with Ruben Dias, because 1v1, Dias is a better player, but there's only one man can fix it. He's got to look in the mirror, which I'm sure he will do. He'll analyse himself, which he has to do. And then you've got to find some confidence and form from somewhere. The difficulty is, when you're not playing, that's hard, because you can't show everyone and potential buying clubs what you're good at. And when you're going through a bad time, there's only one thing that's going to fix it, and that's getting out in the training ground, trying to get some self-confidence. And when you get your chance, because he will get a chance, you know, Harry Maguire is not going to not start any minutes this season. There's going to be times where he's going to be in Europe or in domestic competition when he gets his chance. That's a time where he's got to play well and say to the manager, listen, I can come back. It's the only thing you can do. You can't just give up. You can't just quit.
It is no fun, though, I can tell you. I had it at, obviously, Manchester United is different, but I had it in the Premier League at Derby. a couple of years after signing when Jim Smith was sacked and Jim had made me club captain.
Right.
Obviously, Jim being sacked meant the club, we were struggling as a team. Colin Todd comes in, takes over from his role as assistant. But we were floundering, and as club captain, I took the brunt. You know, getting booed by your home fans, and then, you know, we played away at Middlesbrough, got absolutely hammered. I went over to take a corner kick, got booed by the 500 fans that were travelling. Then you're going to play at home the next week. You're going to run out that tunnel first with the armband in. You don't know if they're cheering you or booing you. It sends you all over. Even if it's not that I was playing great, but even if it's not you who's making all these mistakes, you as this symbol of supposed leadership, and particularly with a young Derby County team, as it was, and a few Muppets like Delap and Higginbottom, and those lot, the fans are going to have to, they have to find it to somewhere.
Jim, this must be a focal point, yeah?
Yeah, I mean, they're unlikely to boo youngsters. Jim Smith had gone. They're now looking at something else. Well, it's an international player.
Right.
Not doing it. So it's very, very, I would imagine for him it's very similar. He's had a lot of stick. He was the club captain. He wasn't necessarily always bad. A lot of times, but not always. And he's bore, as you've mentioned, the bulk of the criticism has certainly gone his way.
I just want to get Shaka's view on another point that Mark made in his article. Sources have said that Maguire's frustrations with goalkeeper David De Gea's communication and reluctance to defend further away from his goal line were also a factor in the overall melee in defence last season. That issue has been improved by Argentina defender Martinez's arrival from Ajax and his ability to communicate with and instruct De Gea in Spanish. Shaka, De Gea is one of Manchester United's best players over recent years. Does he need instructions as to how to be a goalkeeper?
No, David De Gea doesn't need those instructions. And while on the surface of it, I think it's valid that lack of kind of communication and a difference in style that a centre back is used to, I think can be detrimental to that centre back performance. But we're talking about, at his peak, one of the best goalkeepers in world football, a Spanish goalkeeper who is not new to English football, and a centre-back who's not just the captain of his club team, but also represents his national team. So he's not lacking in experience either. What is being put forward there, I think, is valid with a goalkeeper new to English football, fresh out of Spain, and a young, inexperienced centre-back. And David De Gea and Harry Maguire are neither of those. So I think that is kind of, it's either desperate or showing a lack of Harry Maguire's real ability or experience or confidence in both of those.
He wanted to be at Chelsea in 1994 then, or 93, when Chelsea signed Dmitry Karin, the Russian number one.
Right.
Who couldn't speak a single word of English.
Okay.
Right? You go and deal with that. Players shouting at him to get out for crosses and everything, and no. And then you say to him, "Hey, Dimi, good save," and he go, "Thank you."
Hey, well,
I mean, so he could, but that's proper, you know, that's a big gap in communication.
Yes.
When you said, come on, David, I get it. There's different styles, but there just seems a lot of excuses here to me.
Mark?
Yeah, I mean, I do think that Martinez has made a difference in the sense that he's a better communicator than Maguire, and I think he's a tougher character than Maguire. So I think he's organising that defence in which way Maguire didn't last year. I think there were times you could see on the pitch that Maguire and De Gea were kind of looking at each other with, you know, arms out, shrugging the shoulders. Martinez has made a difference communication-wise, playing-wise, and he has brought a sense of confidence back to, I think, De Gea as well. I take exception to Shaq, who's part of De Gea being one of the best in the world. He was, he's not anymore. And I think he has been part of United's problems in recent years. I think he's one area that Ten Hag will look to deal with sooner rather than later. He can't use the ball at his feet. But Martinez has made things better because he's not Maguire, because he can communicate better with De Gea. And I think he's more prepared to be vocal and vociferous. And we've seen Martinez's body language around that back four. He's just energised it with the way he acts. You know, we've seen him with Dalot fist bumping and Varane. He just brought an energy and a belief there which wasn't there with Harry Maguire, it has to be said.
Does any of this stem back, Augie, to the fact that the player's head as well might not have been in the place that it should be. If you go back to, and I'm talking with Man United, his performances with England in general have been very good. If you go back to that, the incident when he was in Greece on holiday, you know, getting himself in a bit of trouble and making some bad decisions, is it not just a case as well that he'd made this big move to Man United and maybe he thought he was the real deal, he was a finished article, and he could pretty much get away with anything and just had to turn up and play on a Saturday?
You know, I'm not sure that's the case, you know, Craig. I think I looked at his stats, and after he sampled Leicester, he played 71 consecutive Premier League games. Didn't miss a minute. He was an absolute model of consistency and fitness. He got injured at Villa just before the Euros and came back to it about a month later. Now, ever since the injury at Villa in May, I think last year, his injury record has been patchy. I think it's affected his form. So I think that injury, that ankle ligament injury suffered at Villa in May 21, has hung over him more than people realise, because prior to that, he was one of United's more consistent players. All the mistakes we're seeing now and last season weren't happening when he was on that run of... I think Gary Pallas, it matched Gary Pallas' run of playing every single minute of every single game. So he was certainly playing well enough. So I think that injury has certainly had an effect, because he's not been the same player since, certainly for United.
Mark, why do you feel the need almost to come to his defence?
I don't. I just thought it was a good issue this week, in international week. I just felt that, considering he's not playing, he's got a World Cup coming. I think that, you know... Gareth Southgate has picked him despite his lack of form, and I thought that was an issue that needed to be addressed, because you have to say he's not earned his place in the England squad. He's in the England squad because of what he's done in the past, what he did at the Euros. Well, that was getting on for 18 months ago now, but the World Cup is 2 months away. There's no more squads to pick. So the fact that he's in the England squad is interesting, because is he really going to start the first game of the World Cup against Iran? Can he be trusted? I'm not sure he can. So I'm not defending him from the sense that I think he should play. I just think it's interesting that the situation he's in now, Man United captain, world's most expensive centre-half, been picked for England when he's clearly not playing well enough. So does that mean he's going to be a key figure at the World Cup? I mean, Gareth Southgate has to answer that question himself. He does pick players that he feels that have served him well in the past, but I think you've got Tomori at Milan, who's playing well. You've got Mark Guay that he likes at Crystal Palace. You've got Connor Cody, you've got Everton doing well, John Stones. I don't know where Maguire fits in, but he's picked him. So it's a massive 2 months for Harry Maguire, I think, that he will go to the World Cup. I think he'll make the squad, but I don't think he can play.
It'd be a massive 2 months for Southgate as well.
He'd be desperate for him to play, wouldn't he? Because he wants Harry Maguire to start. He clearly likes him, clearly trusts him.
He's just not going to start unless there's an injury.
Right.
That means it's a huge decision for him, because if you're a manager, and I've seen it with the Scotland national team, playing players who weren't playing for the club and getting caught out. Now, if you do that at the World Cup, right, and England flounder, Southgate is, and say, you know, Maguire doesn't play particularly well, and it's very difficult. It's difficult enough playing international football without playing international football with little or no club football. It's nigh on impossible. You're going to make even more mistakes. You're not going to be as sharp. You're going to get caught out. I mean, we're talking about elite level here. And if Southgate plays him and it goes wrong, he's leaving himself open to huge amount of criticism. Yeah. Bearing in mind, Augie said, there are options out there, not with his experience, but there are options. But I can tell you, it is unlikely, if he plays, that he's going to be anywhere near sharp enough to play international football. Not a chance.
And we'll say thank you very much. And where are you, Mark? Just tell us, why are you there?
I'm in Vienna because I'm watching Iran play this week. Iran have got a game on Friday, so England's World Cup opponents and the US World Cup opponents. So I'm on a scouting mission.
Scouting mission?
Spying mission, spying.
Spying? We can just watch on the telly.
I can see by that.
That's easy to do, isn't it?
I can see by that room he's in. It's a high budget sort of...
Well, I think they just wanted to match Mark's personality. I think it's done well. Mark, thank you very much. Just a reminder, extra time, as always, available over on our YouTube channel. Be sure to check it out. Don and Shaka and Craig answering your questions today.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Now, we discussed this on yesterday's show. Christian Pulisic has an autobiography coming out next month entitled My Journey So Far. We've seen a couple of excerpts published from it, including this one talking about the Champions League semi-final. Tuchel told me he was resting me for the second leg, and as a result, I didn't play a single minute in the Fulham game. Then on match day of the second semi, Tuchel tells me he's changed his mind and he's going with Kai Havertz. I honestly was dumbfounded and very disappointed. I thought I'd earned a start, and most importantly, he'd assured me previously I was going to start. Don and Shaka with us. Don, what do you make of this?
Oh, my days. I mean, it's ridiculously naive, isn't it, from Christian Pulisic? I mean, all right, it's his book, so he feels as though he's got to have his little, you know, say against Thomas Tuchel. But is he not naive enough to think that Thomas Tuchel won't be happy and he'd be having words with other managers? I mean, you know, managers change their mind. All right, when it happens to you, you're a little bit gutted, you're a little bit upset, but it all just sounds a little bit babyish to me. I mean, Christian Pulisic having a whinge. I mean, what's the point? What does he gain from it?
I hope that he's... I like in these scenarios, which happen often, I hope he's gone in, given the proverbial door a good bashing down, and said similar things are stronger to Thomas Tuchel, rather than just lob it into a book. Because this is the kind of thing you want to speak to your manager about. However, as Don said, managers change their minds whether we like it or not. But this argument, or not argument, this whinge would carry more weight if, you know, Chelsea had lost.
Right.
You get Thomas Tuchel sitting there and he's off his feet up, big cigar. Don't think he'd do that.
Right.
You never know.
It's not Ancelotti.
You've seen managers do it before. You bash the door in, Burley style, bang.
Yeah.
And you storm in there and he's getting all barrels and he'll just go, and we won.
Yeah.
And you really don't have much have a comeback, because he'll say, well, I changed things because this is what I wanted to do, and you know, I wanted to do this and play a different style and I felt that would be better, and they got the result and went all the way to the Champions League final. Kai Havertz scored that great goal in the final. It was the difference between the teams winning the Champions League. So your argument or your whinge is falling a little bit on deaf ears. You can rock it in there if they'd lost.
Right.
You know, you told me you're going to play. Now you've made yourself look stupid. But that's what managers do. They get paid to make big calls and get big results. And that year, he did.
What do you make of it, Shaq?
I'm not quite sure. I'll start with something Don finished on. What does he gain by it? He gains book sales. If you're interested in Christian Pulisic, especially if you're an American soccer fan and you want that kind of insight as to what happens in the dressing room, I think this is good reading, if that's what you're after. The truth is, though, this happens far more often than people outside the game recognize. It happens a lot. And he's not the first to kind of feel that sting. I'm sure he won't be the last. From a personal perspective, I don't understand why you release a book in the middle of your career. But he's not the first to do it. I'm sure he's not the last in that regard either. So there's a lot that doesn't add up for me. That's on him. But this is just what football/soccer fans kind of want, and he's feeding that. I'm not sure that it helps his cause any outside of book sales.
Some of the Americans will be loving this, won't they? They just, like, you know, obviously this hatred has gone towards whoever doesn't select Christian Pulisic,
yes,
as you know, from quite a sizable majority of soccer following people this side of the pond get very angry about this.
But Chelsea fans have not been happy with this either.
If you go to Los Angeles and go around Max Bretos's house. if you were open to open Max's garage doors, there's going to be about 10,000 Christian Pulisic's books just falls right out. You know there is. But in what sense are Chelsea fans?
Chelsea fans like Tuchel. They're happy with the success that he had. He brought them to the Champions League. They're not happy that one of their own basically is coming out and criticising Tuchel and criticising one of the best parts of their history, obviously picking up that second Champions League.
Well, I suppose we've all done it, not in a book, but we've all sort of critiqued a manager or his decision. But it goes back to that year having success and that manager making big calls. Now, there's been other times this year before Tuchel was sacked that Pulisic could come out and say, look at those defeats and look at that bad performance and you didn't play me. But it is 100 times more difficult to sell anything to a manager when a manager's winning.
Yeah, and Don, it's interesting. Gab brought up a good point yesterday. This book wasn't just written over the last couple of weeks. A lot of planning would have gone into it in the sense that this Tuchel chapter was already written and it could have been published with it in there with Tuchel still being the manager.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think it's very naive from Christian Pulisic. I don't know what he gains from it. Shaka's saying about book sales. Well, all right, well, that's what he gains from it, but it's not my cup of tea. But why would you do that to a manager that could have been already at Chelsea? You know, I think it destroys any relationship that Tuchel will ever have with Christian Pulisic. It destroys the fact that if Thomas Tuchel got a job elsewhere, he would sign Pulisic. That's not going to happen. And managers talk, Dan. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if Thomas Tuchel or Graham Potter's having the conversation, not so much about Pulisic, but the individuals in the dressing room, and it goes on and on from there. So, and I think the biggest thing that you said there, Dan, as well, is he's picking a fight with Thomas Tuchel, who the Chelsea fans applauded during, I think it was their last Premier League game. They absolutely adore Thomas Tuchel and the work that he's done. So it'll be very interesting if Christian Pulisic's performances dips over the next couple of weeks, and how the Chelsea fans then take to Pulisic, because it might make that relationship between player and fan very uncomfortable.
Do players care, Don?
What, inside the dressing room?
Yeah, does like Kai Havertz care that he's saying, well, basically, you know, I should have started ahead of you?
Nah, I think footballers are very insular, Dan. I think we all look after ourselves. I think they might have a little laugh and joke about it, but I don't think they're bothered.
But the other side of the coin is, you know, say what you want, but don't think it's going to make Graham Potter, who will no doubt be reading these words, particularly international break, he'll have plenty of time to do a bit of reading, not going to make a difference to what decisions he makes.
Right.
He's not going to be railroaded into playing a player, any player, I wouldn't imagine, who has got a few gripes about not playing, who might dish some dirt publicly to the media. I don't think it's not going to make a manager change his mind. But I think the position of, if to go back to the discussion with Gab, if this has been in the works for so long and Tuchel may still have been manager, as it turns out he's not, what would this have done to their relationship? Well, I mean, at the end of the day, if Pulisic has gone in and echoed those words at the time...
Right, then it'll be no surprise.
And then it isn't a big surprise, but I don't know, releasing books and middle of careers, and I just don't get it.
When's your autobiography out? That'd be a good read.
No, it wouldn't.
I think it would.
I have to bury too many people.
mostly yourself.
Yeah, mostly me.
The transfer window may be shut, but there is still plenty of transfer talk going on over on the website, including the future of Harry Kane. And we talked about this, didn't we, a few months ago. There are suggestions that Bayern Munich are still very much interested in signing the England captain. Gab Marcotti with us. Don Hutchinson. Don, of course, gives us all the insight when it comes to Harry Kane, because he said that he'd go to Manchester City. That, of course, played out well, Don. Is he going to go to Bayern Munich?
I don't think that's happening. I understand Bayern's interest. They've lost, obviously, Lewandowski. They're looking for a main man to play up front, and there's not many better than Kane. But I think under Antonio Conte, I think he's happy. He looks fit. There's a chance all of a sudden where you look at Tottenham and you think they're serious contenders to lift a trophy.
Oh, Don.
I don't see that one happening.
Why would he not go? Why, to win the League Cup with Spurs, when you go to Bayern Munich, win the Bundesliga, compete for the Champions League? It's different gravy.
Well, I understand it. I mean, well, you ring him up and sell it to him, Dan. I mean, he's chasing the Premier League record.
I should have to sell it to him. He's a professional player, and if you want to fulfil your ambition as a 29-year-old, this is your last chance to make a big step to a club that's going to win something, then it's not a big sell, is it?
Well, it is when you consider that he's chasing down Alan Shearer's all-time Premier League goal scoring record.
He doesn't care about
huge.
Alan Shearer. Erling Haaland's going to be there in a couple
tell
of
you,
years,
Dan,
no problem.
Let me tell you, he is desperate for that record. He is desperate for that. Why wouldn't you want to go down as the Premier League's all-time leading goal scorer?
Because I want
it's
a trophy,
huge.
Don. Wouldn't you want a trophy?
Well, of course you can do what Sadio Mane's done and leave Liverpool and go and win the Bundesliga. But, I mean, is the Bundesliga title going to be at the forefront of your cabinet? I mean, obviously with Harry Kane, yes.
Well,
he
if you've got an empty cabinet, it will be.
Well, exactly. You beat me to the punchline. And I think he's happy, Dan. I think he had his big chance when he could have went to Man City. And we know the story why it probably fell through. And that was his big opportunity to move. Now he's got a chance to stay at Spurs under Conte, if he stays. And potentially win a trophy. And I stress, to be the leading goal scorer of the Premier League of all time is massive.
I mean, they might not win the Bundesliga, they probably will, but they're having a little stutter or two.
They're with it.
Oh, I know. Probably. They'll probably. But anyway, Nagelsmann's under a bit of pressure, allegedly. You're asking about how big a sell is it to the player. I think how big a sell is it to the club. You know, Bayern Munich, and maybe Gab can correct me on this or not, but they're not known for going out and splashing the type of money that Tottenham would be looking for to let him go. They just generally, they don't do that.
But he's only got 18 months left on his contract.
Yeah, can you imagine Tottenham having been in a place where they probably haven't been since Pochettino took them to the Champions League final? They're looking super competitive. I'm not suggesting they're going to win. They're in a good place. They've got a manager. If they sold Kane in January, can you imagine when they were if they were in the top four? Then the manager's walking as well. And on top of that, as I say, Daniel Levy's well renowned for holding out for the huge bucks. And Bayern Munich are not really a club that goes and pays 100 million plus to get a player. So I just don't see it happening.
What do you think, Gav, on this?
I agree with Craig completely. It doesn't fit Bayern's MO in terms of, you know, spending a lot of money on older players. Now, obviously, Mane was older than Kane when he joined, but you know, you're talking about, you know, diverting the Lewandowski money to pay for Mane. Here, what are you going to do? Where are you going to have that kind of immediate cash injection to deal with it? And it's going to be a big number, even though he has 18 months left. I mean, my sense is that, you said it, he needs a new contract, he needs some assurance over his future. And so, you know, why not put out feelers? But I think as long as Nagelsmann's there, Nagelsmann wants a certain type of player. I'm not sure. I think Harry Kane could have been that player, you know, 7-8 years ago, but he's played in a different system with different managers. And I also think there's another imperative here at play too, which is Antonio Conte. You know, his contract, you know, isn't ironclad and eternal either. If they start, you know, taking players away from him, we've seen this before, he walks out. You know, he's done it multiple clubs before. So to me, this would be a nightmare scenario, and I just don't see this happening. I think this gets resolved with a new deal for Harry Kane.
Regardless of whether or not they sell Kane from him, Gab, is there any suggestion that maybe Conte is looking at what's happening, say, at Juventus at the moment, and maybe tempted to go back to Italy?
I think people are going to make that assumption. They're going to put things together. But, you know, Juve right now, if you look at the losses Juve have made, the fact that the Agnelli family has had to put substantial amounts of money into the club, the fact that, you know, the last time they brought somebody back, you know, they've been burned or they're being burned right now with Max Allegri. I don't think this is crossing Conte's mind right now. You know, I'm not saying at some point in the future it couldn't happen, but I think he's cognizant of the fact that they spent a lot of money and he got the players he wanted this summer, and Spurs are doing well. And, you know, maybe this is a conversation, you know, that you have down the road, maybe next season or the one after that.
How much of a mess are Juventus in at the moment, Gab? We're hearing stories, aren't we, that Nedved wants Allegri out, the rest of the board don't agree. It seems like a really bad soap opera at the moment that hasn't got any sort of happy ending.
Well, look, the headline is that, you know, they gave Allegri an enormous contract and are paying him an enormous amount of money. And that's why they're not in a position to make that change to go and take that hit. If things get really bad or things get worse, and especially I think they're standing in the table, gets really bad and it's a couple months down the road and they're in danger of not making the top four, then maybe you revisit it. I certainly, Allegri was Andrea Agnelli's choice, the president. I think some of the other shareholders, including his cousin, may view things a little bit differently. Right now, they've said we're committed to go with Allegri, and let's see where this ends up. You can get into all sorts of conspiracy theories in terms of Agnelli family power struggles and so on, and whether it's a case of giving Andrea Agnelli enough rope that he hangs himself or whatnot. Certainly Allegri right now is very isolated. The fans are very against him. But I think, you know, the next change after Allegri, if Allegri goes, that is when I think you're going to see major changes at Juventus, and, you know, involving probably all the top executives as well as the manager.
How much trouble Juventus in, Don?
Massive trouble, Dan. They lost against Monza, and you saw by that graphic there, there's, I think it was four defeats, I think, in three draws, or the other way round. I mean, the football's not great neither. I mean, you know, I go back to a game, and I'm sure Gab watched it. It was against Sampdoria last month, and I was doing the game, and it was a really boring game, and I got to half-time, and I asked the stats guy to tell me some stats on how many touches Vlahovic has had, because they couldn't get him the ball. They were too passive, there were sideways passing, it was pedestrian, it wasn't a good game. Stats guy told me one touch, and that was from kickoff. So actually, wow. Zero touches in 45 minutes. The football's poor, and I was waiting for the result and the performance to come through while I was at work. And you see the Monza loss, then I'm on the next game in a couple of weeks' time where I think it might be Bologna. They don't win that one, he's in serious trouble. I mean, Gab can correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think Agnelli sacked anyone halfway or midway through a season. I think he gives a manager the sort of full term, if you like, but they can't keep losing games, and they can't lose to teams like Monza and draw against Salernitana. That can't keep happening if you're Juve.
Last word on this, Gab.
No, I think you can't have this messaging coming from Allegri where, you know, he comes out and he says, well, but, you know, we played well. And, you know, his big alibi, and he came up with this, is that we've had so many injuries. Now, it's true that they've had a lot of injuries, but, you know, the people he means, who he says would have been the backbone of the squad, in addition to Vlahovic, you're talking Di Maria and Chiesa up front. Now, Di Maria is on a short-term contract and is 34 years old. Chiesa, we knew, wasn't going to be back before 2023. And in midfield, you know, his big successful trio was going to be Pogba, another one who's injured. We're not going to see him play for Juve anyway until 2023. Paredes, who, you know, only joined in the final hours of the transfer window. And Adrian Rabiot, who they tried to sell over the summer and who nobody likes. So now, when you give out messaging like that, people start to wonder, what kind of long-term vision do you actually have? Are you actually in touch with what's going on, with what the club are trying to do? And what about all the youngsters that we have from, obviously, Locatelli's not that young anymore, but he's an important player, but the likes of Miretti, Fagioli, other kids are getting in there. Kostic, who's not young either, but who they spend a lot of money on. He doesn't feature in Allegri's plan or his hypothetical plan. This is the kind of messaging that turns crowds against you, and by extension against the club as well.
Thank you very much. Are you and Jules together on Thursday's podcast or international break? You off doing different things, Gab?
Mais bien sûr, we will be there tomorrow.
Beautiful. Can't wait. Just a reminder, that'll be available on Thursday. As always, you can check that out over on the website.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That is it. That brings us to the end of today's show. Thank you very much to everyone who has been on. Be sure to stay tuned, though. Extra Time is next. Don is back. Shaka returns. Craig, of course, here as well to answer some of your questions. So stay with us. Welcome into the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Craig Burley with us here in the studio. Don Hutchinson in his Leicester City bedroom. Shaka Hislop joins us as well. Thank you for everyone who's asked about Stevie. His operation went well. We've seen pictures. You don't want to see the pictures.
So he's got his patched on.
He had to have his shoulder reattached to some muscles, I think.
Ooh. He had some
he
work
fell over
on,
the dog.
Some work on his rotator cuff done.
Oh, there you go.
So he's got this he's got this cast on for how long?
4 to 6 weeks.
Right, and it's not a it's a stiff cast, yeah. Is he going to come to work with it?
I don't think he said he was only going to come only going to be on the show when he could get dressed.
We couldn't get dressed anyway. Glory of the rotator cuff problem.
That's a good excuse, isn't it? Okay, lots of questions to get through. Shaka, you've always been criticising Neymar unfairly. Isn't it time for you to at least recognise his wonderful start to the season? And do you think he'll be able to lead Brazil to glory in the World Cup?
Okay, well done and a very good start to the season, Neymar. No, I have Argentina winning it, so the answer to the second part of that question is no.
What is it about Neymar that you dislike so much, Shaka?
I just feel for as talented a player as he is, he can give so much more. I think I've always been critical ever since I moved from Barcelona to PSG, so he could put himself in a better position to win the Ballon d'Or. That made no sense to me. And I just think that he hasn't delivered on what is an exceptional talent.
That'll be on the next documentary of Neymar.
At least he goes in the team photo.
That quote right there. What is the percentage for Chelsea with the new manager to be in the top four, Don?
I've got a funny feeling, Dan.
Yes?
I've got a funny feeling that Graham Potter, and not because it's Graham Potter, he's going to struggle at Chelsea. Oh. I'm not sold on that dressing room. I don't feel it's a good dressing room, all the way back to Frank Lampard when he's managing some of the individuals. I would like to see how some of these players and individuals perform for Graham Potter. I hope they do, because he's a fantastic manager. Getting him in the top four, getting them in the top four, he can certainly do it, of course he can. But I think it's going to be tight. I think I'd give them a 30% chance.
30%.
He's been talking to Frank again.
Yes, yeah, they like some let's chat to Don. Frank, and he's talking to Don now that Everton won a game. Where you go, 30%?
All right, I'll go 40.
40?
My level of...
There you are. Good, a lot of thought into that. Question for Shaka, isn't goal saving as vital as goal scoring? If yes, then why are no goalkeepers ever in the GOAT debate when we talk about Messi and Ronaldo? Do you think this is unfair, taking into account that football is a team game where each position is vital for success?
Oh, very serious.
Sounds like I wrote that question. Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. Of course, as a fully paid member of the Goalkeepers Union, that's the drum I've been banging on ever since I walked through doors at ESPN. Listen, truthfully, I think goal scoring is a far more valuable talent. Good goal scorers are harder to come by. So you understand why there's that focus. But absolutely, if you're talking about the greatest players of all time, I think the kind of just wanton dismissal of goalkeepers or players away from the forward line is wrong.
I was banging on about that as well on Monday.
That's right.
Yeah, don't you take all the credit. Kasper Schmeichel, not the greatest goalkeeper, just saying how big a player he was for Leicester. Mm. Bang, bang, bang. But you can't have goalies in there. Big stupid goalies diving about with gloves on.
Who is your greatest goalie of all time, Shank?
Buffon.
There we go.
Dino's off. What?
Give me a Neymar. Give me a Neymar over a Shaka any day of the week.
People just like goals, don't they? Apart from me, that is.
Don. Yes.
Well, I don't like highlights.
No, goals. You don't like highlights.
I'd like
goals.
To see them live.
Okay, Don. What's one thing you enjoyed as a professional footballer that you miss the most, apart from your paycheck?
Do you know what, Dan? Honestly, going in every single morning, when I was at Sheffield United and when I was with Everton under Howard Kendall, it was just incredible on the way into training. I used to pick Gareth Taylor up when I was at Sheffield United on the way to training, and we used to giggle all the way to training thinking, what's going to happen today under Howard? Like, what's going to happen to make us laugh today? What's going to be a memory that we'll take to the grave when Howard was the manager? And it's going into that dressing room, seeing all your mates in the dressing room. Some are high because they're having a great day or a great cup, but some are low. The banter's always flying. If the manager hates an individual, then he'll be getting ribbed. If a player wants to leave, he'll be closest to the door, the exit door. He used to put his kit next to the exit door. Just the shenanigans that went on in terms of the pranks that used to go on were just like being at school. It was just brilliant. It was just amazing.
Shenanigans is a great
one thing
word.
You enjoy. I would say the buffet at the Marine Highland Hotel in Troon on duty with Scotland.
Oh, really?
Don, you remember that buffet?
Yeah, I remember the nightclub sort of across the way as well, Craig.
What sort of things were you serving up?
I remember the nightclub across the way.
Oh,
remember the nightclub?
No, don't get in that.
I don't go to nightclubs.
I'll tell you what, though, the buffet at the Marine Highland, there's no nightclub across the road from the Marine Highland.
From Cameron House. There's a hotel
that's
on the ground.
The buffet at the Marine Highlands. Ooh, in the old days playing for Scotland. Brownie had a team meeting about a World Cup qualifier and started the meeting off. I think we were playing Croatia. And he started the team meeting off by lambasting the majority of us for their portions.
Well, tell us, what was so special about his
prawns? His prawns are just marvellous.
His prawns?
Marvellous. It was a full homemade Scottish soup, and then there was a full buffet that you could go, and then there was all the cakes.
Oh.
Marvellous.
Oh, beautiful.
But to go back to that, briefly, the dressing room,
the dressing room, the banner, that's
marvellous. Chelsea and
Celtic must have been good as well.
Oh, Chelsea and Celtic. I never thought I would leave a better dressing room than I had at Chelsea with those lads because I'd been there 10 years.
Yeah, just, well, you did have Frank in it though.
Yeah, actually, what happened at the old training ground at Chelsea, which was owned by the university out by Heathrow, they had small changing rooms, so there was groups of, say, six. So, for example, LeBeouf, I don't think was in my changing room, but he probably was next door.
Well, you were in like the family changing rooms
together?
They were
only small, yeah. So I was in with Mark Hughes and Dan Petrescu, then Viali, and they were in others. And
wow.
So yeah, it was slightly split, but it's Celtic, no. Big dressing room at Celtic Park.
Yeah.
Unbelievable bunch of guys.
Fantastic. So just, very good.
Walking in the morning was brilliant.
What about you, Shaq?
Yeah, listen, I'm with everybody on this. The only thing I miss from playing was the dressing rooms. You know, right. When I retired, people would always ask me, do you miss playing? And the answer was always no. I don't really miss playing. I do miss the dressing rooms, though. Those are special.
I'll tell you what, though, we stayed in a hotel in Aberdeen before an international game, and I'm not going to throw them under the bus. I am, actually.
Okay.
My old schoolmate and Chelsea mate, Billy Dodds, who went back to Scotland to play and then get into the national. Right, Don knows Dodgy, played with him in the same team. We decided, Dodgy and I, up in Aberdeen at the hotel, that we were going to sneak out for a couple of beers.
Okay, good. Right?
Okay,
yeah.
No problem. So Dodgy was from...
What a surprise.
Dodgy was playing for Aberdeen at the time, at a house up there. So he had his car. So we went out, but unbeknown to us, somehow Dodgy's car had a flat battery. And we snuck out the back of the hotel in the dark of night, but we could see the staff sitting by the reception window.
Okay.
And every time Dodgy turned the ignition in the car, the interior light came on.
Yes.
So, Wonderful life. So I'm saying, Dodgy, it's gone. One start, I went freaking light. Everybody can see us. So I've got my hands over the, light. I've actually got this thing started. Bosh, we go into Aberdeen. Nobody will see us. I had a couple of beers, walked into a nightclub or late bar, and there was about 15 of the Scottish tabloid journalists, sports writers.
Beautiful.
So I don't think it ever got back. But when we went to training the next day, because the game wasn't the next day, it was a few days
ago. Oh, yeah, it's professionals.
Fair Islands.
Okay.
It wasn't a big drama.
Right.
Although we just beat them 2-1. We went out training next day and we're doing a little warm-up and I was going, Dodgy, he knows. You know when you're paranoid?
Yes.
He's like, come on, Butley and Dodge, come on! You two, get your finger out! I went, he knows somebody's racket on us. But honestly, that freaking light.
God. Imagine if there were camera phones back in your day.
Oh, we'd have been absolutely. We would have been absolutely pumped.
For Shaka, if VAR was in use for the 2006 World Cup, would Peter Crouch's goal have stood? And do you think Trinidad Tobago could have made
Frank
it
Lampard?
Out of the group?
Frank Lampard's goal.
It was Peter Crouch who was pulling, wasn't he?
Peter Crouch,
Yeah. Peter Crouch was pulling on the hair, wasn't
Brent
he?
Shaka? Sancho.
Yes.
Shaka brings it up a lot.
Yeah, he does bring it up a lot.
But no question, it should have been disallowed. That was in the 83rd minute. I think we could have held out. The question then comes down to, and I'm trying to remember the other results. England beat Paraguay. I can't remember what Sweden did against Paraguay.
Wait, was it only one goal? I thought it was two goals.
Yeah, but that came in injury time when we were pressing for a winner.
Oh, I see. And who
the
scored
second
that
came
goal
in
again,
the 91st
Shaka?
Minute. Huh?
Who scored that goal?
Guy, I can't remember his name. played for Liverpool for a bit. He had an appearance or two for Liverpool, if memory serves me right.
I thought you were talking about the Lampard goal against Germany.
No.
But that was crazy, wasn't it?
Yes, that was crazy. I think that was kind of gave everyone the kick up the backside to get it all sorted.
That was crazy.
There we go.
Those nights out with Scotland games, it didn't happen all the time, you know. Just in case anybody gets the wrong idea.
Cheryl, it didn't happen all the time.
I'm not worried about that.
For Don, how long did it take you to be comfortable driving on the right... Oh, well, you don't live here, so that doesn't count. Craig, how long did it take you to be comfortable driving on the right side of the road? Coming from the UK.
Well, I'd done it before on holiday, but I do remember stepping out of the hotel near where I live.
Yes.
And there was a police car, we were doing some roadworks and there was a police car and I went up the wrong side of the road.
Did you?
Yeah, only for 100 yards.
Right, okay.
I actually have more trouble going back. Do you have this?
Yeah.
I have more trouble now because it's been here all the time.
And I drive manual when I go back as well.
Yeah.
So you're kind of stalling at roundabouts and things and you forget. And there's average speed cameras and everything's smaller in England. Here you
so
have
roundabouts.
Space.
You pull up to the roundabout in the UK and you go, geez, what way
do we go? Which way do we go?
Where are we given? We're given from the right or whatever. But so.
Shaq, what side of the road do they drive on in Trinidad and Tobago?
Same as England.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like second.
And do you know when Don was here for the Euros? Who drove him everywhere?
You.
Me.
You wouldn't want him driving.
No, you wouldn't trust Don driving.
I tell you what, Dan. I've done it once. I went to Huntington Beach in California donkeys years ago, and I tried to drive to Vegas for a wedding. And correct me if I'm wrong, my knowledge of America is poor, especially driving. I don't know, 4 or 5 hours?
From where?
Something like...
Vegas to Los Angeles.
California to Vegas.
Yeah.
It took something like 11 hours. There was a forest fire and I couldn't move. It took 11 hours. Stuck.
Yeah. So why does that stop you driving when you come here?
Well, no, because this was a long time ago. This was, crikey, this was 20 years ago. My little boy, well, Max, who's 21, was the baby at the time. So I tried it and a 5-hour journey took 11 hours. And I thought I'd be cute and do like a little detour, and I seen Compton, and I was like, that's not the place. I don't think I need to be driving through Compton.
Yeah.
Breaking news, no. Don, America's a big country.
Yeah.
Nobody asked you for a ferry ticket back to the island, though, did they?
This is a very random question. Did the panel encounter interesting experiences in zoos, theme parks, or safari parks?
Well, everyone's had a monkey on the car, isn't they? Everyone's had a little...
I've been told to go to you, Shaka.
That could only be around the 2010 World Cup, South Africa, when I was there with Tommy Smith. And
look at that.
How did we get to this?
My God.
Goodness me. Yeah.
Love it, Shaq.
Oh.
Well, you know, you see me, I'm a regular Dr. Doolittle, I am.
Oh, my God.
Everybody
goodness.
Knows that.
Oh, good grief. Oh.
How did we get here?
Rip your hand off.
Where's this? South Africa?
This is South Africa, 2010.
Yeah. I didn't see you down there, Shaq.
No, this is where Craig tell us that he'd commentate the World Cup final.
No, I wasn't going to tell you that.
That's all that happens when we talk about
South Africa. No, I'm going to say we also, as part of the ITV team, we also stayed at a place, I can't remember whereabouts in South Africa it was called Hippo Hollow.
Right, and what was there?
Exactly. Hippos. But they were mooching around at night.
What do you mean?
It wasn't a hotel.
What do you mean mooching around at night?
It was,
you and Billy Dodd trying to get to wherever you were going.
Hopping around on the phones, you know.
It's a hippo dragging.
Just never get to that pub. How are we going to get to that pub in Aberdeen with all these freaking hippos? Well, we were like, it was like little huts.
You were in a hut?
The rooms were like little huts.
Okay.
It was like a little bit weird. And we'd been at the bar with Champion.
Okay.
Champion and I, John, had been at the bar.
Yes.
And we were accosted by Chilean fans because we were doing their game the next day.
Okay.
So we started drinking with them just to be sociable.
Of course.
Right?
Yeah.
And John was gone to his room and I called up John and says, get back down here, they've got some info for us. And John being John came running back down with his clipboard.
Right.
Asking what the team was going to be and all that.
I mean,
it was all wrong. Anyway, I got a bit tipsy on the red wine, left my phone somewhere, woke up in the middle of the night. Knowing you have that experience, you wake up and you go, where's my phone?
Okay.
You've had that, haven't you?
No,
yes,
never,
you have.
Never.
You wake up, you go,
right,
where's my phone? What'd I do? And I've got too much to drink. So I decided to go out in the middle of the night and go back down to reception.
Mm-hmm.
It almost cost me. There was a few of these large animals reaching around.
Right.
Craig, how are you doing?
Wow.
Where are you going? I'm going to get my phone.
Wow.
Yeah. They were just wandering around.
Okay.
Oh. Dangerous.
Wow. There's a hippo encounter.
They go down into the water.
Yeah. Oh, no. What about you, Don, and animals?
Oh, listen, everyone's had the monkey on the car, haven't they, when they've ripped their windscreen wipers off and, you know, done their little business on your windscreen.
Done their little business on the windscreen.
You go on safari. I didn't get a chance to go on safari. You did go on safari. Did you go on a proper safari, Jack, when you get in the car, the Jeep, and you go down and see the lions and that? No?
See, I'd love to do that.
We did that. We went to see some lions for a bit, but it wasn't like a proper safari where you're driving all over. We did a few encounters like that.
Oh, a bit scary. My wife did it with friends years later.
Right.
Oh,
I'd love to do it, man.
Down into
be brilliant.
Shamwari.
Oh, okay.
Have you ever go? Shamwari.
Shamwari's the place to go? If you're wondering, by the way, you can check out Shaka's goat story, if we're talking about animals encounters, I'm sure, an extra time in the past, where Shaka literally had a fight with a real-life goat.
Yes, I did. I went back to visit the scene of that crime when I was in England this summer.
Did you? Wait,
how come he gets all the trips?
Sorry?
How come he gets all the trips? He was in South Africa, right? Doing whatever.
Right, we saw what he was doing.
Not a lot.
Yeah.
And now he's going to the Middle East.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And they seek him here, they seek him. He'll be in hiding over there, won't he?
Okay.
How come he?
We know Shaka.
His lot gets
big political player, and he's always smoothing with the bosses. Thanks, Shaka. He's always busy.
Hey, you weren't there. They did the FC show from over in South Africa.
Yeah, I wasn't working for...
I did it, so I was working in that show before you were here.
I wasn't working for ESPN at that stage.
Ray Stubbs did it.
Well, proper presenter. Went from Ray Stubbs to me.
The guy who's producing today was over there.
Was he?
I believe.
Is that when he just stalked John Barnes for the whole trip?
I believe so.
Oh, that's what I heard, yeah.
And we had this beautiful... Nelson Mandela Square.
Oh, beautiful.
They wrote me on to do the show one day. I got paid, obviously.
Okay, good. Well, pleased.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pulled the plug.
No, I wasn't working then. Hey, what did you do for the World Cup in 2010, Don, as we're in this conversation?
I can't remember that far back, Daniel. I had too many games of football in my brain. I can remember going to South Africa, though, and doing a safari. was Liverpool back in 92, meeting Nelson Mandela. And we were on the back of like this, how do you explain it? Like an open top bus going through the safari, literally lions, tigers, everything. And we had, I think, a gunman at the back, a gunman at the front, gunman either side, because when you're in an open top bus, it's like, man, this is, it's too open. Like, really scary.
Too open. Too open, this bus.
Yeah, too open.
Have a giveaway though when you get on the bus. No.
They don't just say that he can't remember 2010 because he watched too much football, but give us a story from 1992.
Yeah, but like that England game there, when you said the England game 2006, Peter Crouch, I was thinking, I don't remember that, man. That's years ago. That's
too much knowledge. What you were doing for a World Cup, surely, not just for one match, Don.
Yeah.
Well, so what were you doing?
I was in Dubai.
Well, what were you doing there?
Well, just seeing a couple of pals of mine watching the World Cup.
Oh, very nice.
Never forgive Robbie Earl for that World Cup.
Robbie Earl? Why are you blaming Robbie Earl for it?
Not going into the story.
Okay.
He made me have to do a game that I wasn't supposed to do, and I wasn't in a fit state to do it.
Oh.
I was supposed to do it.
There's a theme to this whole extra time break.
Billy Dodds.
No, we were in Durban or wherever.
Yes, right.
No, wrong. We were somewhere, Nels Prout or Polokwane, and we were driving back to Joburg. And we had a couple of days off.
Yeah.
And John and I had already done a game, and I was, and we'd had a couple of, we went out for a meal after the game.
Right.
As we always did, and we got tanked into the red wine.
Oh, God, right, I'm bored of this story. Right, final question.
And on the way back in the car, I'm lying in the back.
Right, for the merry men.
Aye, all right.
What Stevie-isms will you miss while he's getting a bionic shoulder installed?
Well, he won't be doing this for a while.
No, he won't be. No, definitely not. When he gets angry at me.
Starts up.
I know. And it's Arsenal, love. What will you miss from Stevie, Shagger?
He's in tears, not coming in.
Well, I'm not. He can't.
Why?
How's he going to come in?
Why not?
How's he going to drive?
Somebody will drive him.
Someone will drive him.
Dan could drive him. Dan drives everybody.
Yeah. I drive everyone when they're here. Drive Don around, Frank around, Del Piero, anyone. Here we are. There we are. The whole lot.
At least we can watch Liverpool games without subjecting ourselves to
bodily harm. To be fair, he's got 4 weeks to have a good think about that big hole he dug himself
for the Arsenal.
With the Arsenal, when he said they haven't got any better. You know, and he can fill that hole in a little bit and have a look at himself.
That's it. That's right. Late for you, Don, now. Midnight, isn't it?
Yeah, just gone past midnight.
That's it. Lie down on your bed there and you'll be good. That is it. We are done. We will be back tomorrow. France are playing tomorrow. Jules will be here to reflect on that. Holland are playing as well.
Scotland won today. You never mentioned that.
Yes, we did.
Did you?
Yes.
Oh, sorry.
There you are. Mario Malcolm. Mario Malcolm will be here as well as we'll be talking about the Dutch chances in the World Cup.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.